need your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts? From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix on women's MMA. We've got you covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Women's MMA Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. My name is Sarah and I am here to introduce this episode to you. Recently, Will and Tate sat down to do another GSMC MMA podcast and recap UFC 219, which took place on December 30th in Las Vegas. And as we have been doing, we are taking the parts of that episode where they talk about the women's fights and bringing it to you on this podcast. I am not part of this conversation this week, but I am introducing it to you. And if you remember, from the last couple of episodes, Will and Tate have been talking about the Cyborg Holly Holm fight for a while, and they had a bet on that fight. So they are going to discuss the results of that bet, who won, who lost, what the wager entailed, if the winner or loser held up their end of the bargain, etc. So without further ado, let's get to that episode. Will and Tate talking about Cyborg versus Holly Holm.
Yes. I'm your host, Tate, and I got my good buddy here, Will, with me. How you doing there, Will?
I'm excited. It's almost a new year, and there's a lot of big plans for the coming new year and a lot to talk about.
I am polar opposite of excited because of the fact that I, for the last 3 hours, have been doing push-ups. Yes, it took me 3 hours. No, it actually didn't take me 3 hours. It probably took me two hours?
Two and a half. And we talked a lot, so we were buying some time.
So, to fill you guys in, Will and I had a bet. And I took the bet that I thought Holly Holm would beat Chris Cyborg. Which, just to let you guys know, if you didn't watch the fight, I don't know why you're even listening to the show, but UFC 219, Cyborg won a unanimous decision over Holly Holm. And we had a bet that if Holly Holm lost, I would have to do 150 push-ups in 3 hours. I ended up doing 155 just to be safe, just in case there was a miscount, something weird happened on the replay. I wanted to make sure I covered my end of the bet. But I just finished it. How'd I do, Will?
You did pretty good. I was actually very proud of you. I liked that at the end you had to take a little bit of break because that showed that it was the perfect amount for the bet. So I was really enjoying that.
It was one of those mental breakdowns. I'm cruising along and I'm doing every so many minutes, I'll knock out 25, then come back, knock out another 25. And it's just, you know, business as usual. I'm doing good. And then I got to that last 25, and I'm going through and I'm doing them, and it was either you or Sarah from the MMA Women's MMA podcast says, you only have 4 more left. And I don't know why hearing the word you have 4 more left was like a mental barrier for me, but I could not do another one. I had to stop 4 short and take a rest.
Yeah, which is, you were in the zone. You just pushed him out. He got up to 21, and then we saw a little break at the top, and we're like, oh, you have 4 more. We both said it. And then you just hit that mental wall, and you had to take a break, but you did 10 more after that, so that was
yes,
perfect.
And I did the extra 10 just in case. I just wanted to prove, make sure. It was more for myself, but just in case there was any question that any of the push-ups were not legit, I wanted to make sure I did a solid, true 150. So I did 155, 160 push-ups just to make sure. So, because you just in case, so our audience know I won't cheat them.
Yeah, you're a man of your word. You're a man of principle. When we make bets, we follow up and pay out whatever needs to be paid out, and you definitely did so.
And it was definitely not going to be any of this double or nothing stuff. No, no. I'm like, I lost, and I hate losing, just to let everyone know. I do not like losing. But my thing is, if you beat me, and I don't lose a lot, but if you beat me, you have beat me, and I must pay my debt.
And if you beat me, I would have done my 300 push-ups, and I would have struggled through all of them.
And see, Will, if he'd have lost, because it was a 2-to-1 odds on this one, he would have had to do 300 push-ups in an hour and a half. So I would not have envied you on that one.
I'm happy I don't have to do them.
Now, speaking of following through on what you need, you know, what you need to do and getting the job done. Chris Cyborg, she got the job done, Will. What did you think of the fight? I know we've talked about it a little bit. It's quite a fascinating topic because, I mean, she really did handle business. You want to go first on what did you think of the fight, first off?
First off, I want to say that was the most elite fight that I've ever seen out of a women's title fight, let alone any fight in general. It was as high level as we can get, and I was on edge the entire time. I was like, ooh, either way, if one of these fighters lands, they can end the other night.
You know, and when you talk about elite, I mean, the corners, I thought both corners were giving really good advice. Both fighters came in with a really solid game plan. This Cyborg did not take Holly for granted, and Holly sure as heck didn't take Cyborg for granted.
Yeah, and it was, while it may not have been a closer fight than I thought it was going to be, I was very surprised by both of them. They both showed aspects that I haven't seen before in both in their previous fights, because the other fighter was able to challenge them to a point where they had to draw it and take something within themselves and show it in the fight.
Now, this is the fascinating thing about this. I think almost everyone agrees that Cyborg won. It's just there is a huge discrepancy on how they think Cyborg won. For instance, Will scored the fight 5-to-none. I scored it 2-to-3, or 3-to-2 for Cyborg winning. And then I know this, that a number of other sports writers had the range from Cyborg winning all 5 rounds, Cyborg winning 4 rounds, Cyborg winning 3 rounds, all the way to Holly Holm winning 3 rounds. There were some sports writers that gave the first 3 rounds to Holly, which I was a little surprised on. You know, we've talked about this a little bit, but give me your thoughts on why there was such a huge range of people that thought it was a close fight to it was a shutout.
The close rounds were close, and the dominant rounds within that capsule, Cyborg was able to show and kind of dominate to a certain extent, that to the point where it wasn't a close fight. But on paper, and if you were to judge round by round, those close rounds were so close that I could have seen it giving that to Holly, and I can confidently say that I had 4-to-1 for Cyborg. But
so you did give Holly a round then.
Those first 3 rounds were so close that I wouldn't be confident in saying 5-0, and I'd have to rewatch it in order to give a solid 5-0. But I can give it 4-1 because I'll give Holly the benefit of doubt for one of those first 3 rounds. I don't see the last round being that close, but it was one of the closer ones. But it was a close fight on paper, but when you watch it in person and you see some of the shots landed and how they dictated the fight, I had Cyborg winning clearly. But if I wasn't doing that and I was just kind of judging it as a competitive fight and just enjoying the competitiveness of the fight and not really scoring every punch and looking at everything done minute by minute, it's a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, because, you know, when you look at it and you say round one, I gave to Holly. But that was a close round, and I thought it could go either way. Round two, it was a close round, and I thought it could go either way, but I gave it to Cyborg. Three, once again, I thought it could go either way, but I gave that one to Holly. Four was clearly Cyborg. And then I thought round five was a really, really close, really interesting round, but I gave it to Cyborg. And, you know, but I could see how a lot of, you know, because there was a lot of press people had it from Holly winning to Cyborg winning all five rounds. I've never seen a fight with that many respected MMA journalists and people, you know, fight people that are in the know debating who, not just, I think 90% of the people all thought Cyborg won, but the number of rounds, I was surprised.
Yeah, there was it reminded me a lot of those kind of a historical fight, but Mauricio Shogun Hua versus Lyoto Machida. Mm-hmm. There's two different conflicting styles where Holly was kind of like Machida, where she darts in and lands accurate punches at times, whereas Mauricio Shogun Hua and Chris Cyborg are kind of the brawlers that look to land more damaging punches. And you kind of have to judge each round minute by minute in order to see wins, because it has to do a lot with the effectiveness and power. Those are the two things you have to judge. And as far as that goes, I thought Holly was really effective with her straight left and her high kick, but the power of Cyborg and some of the shots and the combinations that she was able to land when Holly was darting in, that favored the fight towards her, in my opinion.
Now, see, and I looked at it a little differently. I don't think Holly was effective with her high kick at all. And why I say that is, is that Holly came in and she had a really great game plan, but Holly came in really tight and really nervous. And I was expecting Holly to do a lot of leg kicks, a lot of oblique kicks, a lot of push kicks, all working the lower body of Cyborg. And that was kind of, it looked like that was the game plan. But I think Holly was so concerned about getting caught by Cyborg that she never really sat down on her shots, her kicks, like she's done in the past. So it didn't have as much. It was more about touching Cyborg than actually landing with power. And I think if she would have landed with more power early, it would have made Cyborg respect her, because, you know, Cyborg kept coming and coming. It would have slowed her down. And let me tell you, Cyborg landed some monstrous shots, but so did Holly. Holly, how often do you see Cyborg with a bloody nose? Holly brought it to her, but Cyborg was just too much.
Yeah, I didn't like the diversification of attacks that Holly had, and that's why I only brought up the left straight and the left high kick, because that was practically her whole offense the entire fight, and that was kind of sad to me.
That's because that was part of me. In my opinion, that's what happens when a fighter is super nervous and super tight. They keep sticking with what's working, what they're most comfortable with. If she would have mixed it up, it was really important for her, you know, to mix it up, so that kind of like John Jones, Daniel Cormier, John Jones would mix up from low kicks, the body kicks, the head kicks, so that Cormier didn't know where those shots were coming from, so that you could fire a shot. Cyborg would think it's a low kick, but it goes high and it lands. That's what the game plan was for Holly. But because Holly never implemented that, because she became very predictive. And at one point, Cyborg is actually kind of just taking an approach that once Holly engages, she would engage, because she knew Holly was so predictable that Cyborg knew when to throw. Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was very interesting to see a counter fighter like Holly urged into being offensive.
Yes, because
that was smart on Cyborg's plan. She pressured her to the point where she would be in her face, but she wouldn't throw any punches, but she would always be a constant threat for punishment. And that got Holly thinking way too much about throwing some leg kicks and all those different things that could have diversified her attacks. And Holly just kind of went back to throwing power shots with the left straight and the left high kick. And that was not good for her game plan. She should have totally done the John Jones plan against Cormier.
Now, one of the things that shocked me in this fight was that Holly seemed like the stronger fighter in the clinch. That was a shocker. And you kind of said it best in our conversation before that you're not sure if she was the stronger fighter or if she had she was a fighter with the better technique. But numerous times, Holly would push Cyborg up at the cage and hold her there. And Cyborg did something kind of smart. She didn't panic. She didn't get all crazy. She conserved her energy, but Holly held her up against the cage quite a bit. You know, even when you look at like control time, you say, you know, Holly, 3 minutes and 25 seconds compared to 43 seconds for Cyborg. Even when Cyborg would put Holly up against the cage, Holly could turn her and hold Cyborg up to the cage. I just was not prepared for that.
Yeah, that was very surprising for me. And Holly is super underrated in the clinch. And what's surprising is we've seen her in the clinch before, and we've seen her against one of the best clinch fighters of all time in Ronda Rousey, and she dominated her in the clinch. She was able to nullify her attacks, but I didn't see it coming against Cyborg, and that makes me think that some of Ronda Rousey's performances are underrated because she has such technique and core power to the point where it didn't look that impressive when Holly was able to nullify her attacks. But when I get to see it against someone like Chris Cyborg, who is a proven commodity in the clinch and in power and raw power and technique, the fact that she was able to get those underhooks and to push her around, and even when Cyborg decided to not to reverse the clinch and try to pressure her, she was able to nullify her attacks by putting her arms against her knees so there was no Muay Thai clinch attacks. I was very impressed with Holly's performance.
I do need to jump in here and have us take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, Will and Tate will be talking a little bit more about that Cyborg-Holly Holm fight, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Women's MMA Podcast.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. We got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Women's MMA Podcast. We have Will and Tate discussing UFC 219. Specifically right now, they are recapping that fight, that title fight between Holly Holm and Cyborg. So let's get back to that conversation.
Holly is a lot stronger than I think anyone expected. And I think that is the biggest disparity in this fight, why the scores were so wide, because it was quite shocking to see Holly hold Cyborg up against the fence. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people gave Holly a little credit for controlling Cyborg. I didn't give, you know, in the first round, I gave her some credit for that. But my big problem was while she had Cyborg up against the fence, she wasn't doing enough damage. If she would have been doing more damage while she held her up against the fence, we would have a different fight. We'd have a very different fight.
Yeah, it was, for all intents and purposes, it was a hug that she was giving her against the cage to stifle her, maybe wear her down. But Cyborg realized that, and you could see on her look on her face that she's like, oh, I'm just going to take my time.
Yeah,
I know this is going to go by. She's not threatening me or anything. And when she wanted to separate, Cyborg would bring her arms over Holly's face and try to break the clinch in that aspect. But she was, a lot of times she was okay with Holly spending energy doing that clinch work with her.
Yeah, it was. She was. Holly never made the clinch a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm.
Holly just decided, I'm going to be the stronger fighter. I'm going to hold her up against the cage. And then when it gets a little dangerous or I find my opportunity, I'm going to get the heck out of here. And it was a good game plan. The biggest problem, I think, was Holly just came in too tight in that the first three rounds. If Holly would have been a little bit looser and sat down on her punches a little bit more, I think you could have had a little more of a competitive fight. But Cyborg, let me tell you, Cyborg put together a perfect game plan. She didn't, no matter, even though Holly put together a really, had a good game plan and a good attack plan towards Cyborg, Cyborg was ready for this fight. She was never, you know, tricked into having too much, being overconfident. She didn't overcommit. She stayed in her game plan. What was drawn out, and she fought the perfect fight. And I really did think Cyborg fought the perfect fight. Now, with that being said, what's next for these two? With Cyborg, I really feel like her last two fights against Tanya Evinger and Holly Holm has made Cyborg become an even better fighter, which is scary to say. That Cyborg is now a better fighter because she fought Tanya Evinger and Holly Holm. What's next?
Well, there's multiple options. an option that was kind of intriguing in the past was Megan Anderson from Invicta.
Absolutely. And that fight was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen. And that's when Tanya Evinger stepped into place and took over the reins for that. But that fight is still on the table. And that's probably one of the most intriguing fight sets out there.
That is, in my opinion, that has to be the next fight. It's either Megan or I would say Kat Zingano, but I think it's going to be Megan Anderson. I'll tell you this. Let's say if it is Megan Anderson, and I think she's one of the most dangerous fighters for Cyborg, because she's actually someone who is a natural. She's a big fighter. She's a big, strong fighter. So, you know, that's, you know, that makes her very dangerous, because that gives her a puncher's chance. But if she gets past, if she fights Megan next and she comes out of this thing successful with Megan. That sounds like I said Negan almost, didn't it?
What a character.
Both are amazing characters. If she fights Megan next and she wins, Cyborg could literally be champion for a very long time. There's no one else.
Well, another intriguing fight that's been proposed right before Holly Holm and Cyborg fought was the fact that Amanda Nunes reached out and said that she would like to fight the winner.
Right.
While I'm not as intrigued with that fight, that is a good challenge for Cyborg. I just think that Cyborg is an advanced version of Amanda Nunes. And I don't think that's a good fight for Amanda Nunes to take, because it's just too much weight to put on and she would be at a disadvantage in practically every realm of the fight, in my opinion. That is an intriguing fight because Amanda Nunes is constantly improving as a fighter.
You want to know why I don't like that fight?
Why is that?
Amanda Nunes doesn't move the needle enough. It's a situation where the UFC is in a situation where you have a bunch of titles already tied up. So are you really going to tie up two more divisions with one champ who doesn't move the needle at all? And I'm a fan of Amanda Nunes, but... And also, you have a situation where if Cyborg wins, what's the big deal? If Cyborg wins, she's expected to win. She's not going to defend the bantamweight title and the featherweight title. So, if I'm the UFC, I'm not letting that fight happen whatsoever. It's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
I definitely agree, because you're sacrificing the future of one division for a short-term, not even a considerable gain in making a quote-unquote super fight. So,
and it wouldn't be a super fight.
That's exactly why I put the quote-unquotes there.
The casual fan barely knows who Amanda Nunes is. She didn't get a big rub or anything from fighting Ronda Rousey. I just don't think there's a big enough pull to make that fight. And you already have the flyweight, the featherweight division, which is just empty. And then you have Cyborg beat Amanda Nunes and tie that division up. The women's division would just be a big stall. I just wouldn't even allow it. I wouldn't even consider it. I'd say absolutely not. I just wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, and another thing is that, like you mentioned, that division is so empty. Literally, the only other fighter that I can truly think of that would be any sort of challenge to Cyborg was the former champion, Jermaine Duranemi, who has expressed that she doesn't want to fight Cyborg at all.
Okay. Let's say Jermaine Duranemi changes her mind and she wants to fight Cyborg now. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that fight either. And the reason why I don't want to see it is because she was the flyweight champion and she gave the title up to just not fight Cyborg.
Featherweight champion.
Featherweight, yes. Sorry. You know how those two are easy to switch. But a champion that would vacate her title so that she didn't have to fight Cyborg doesn't deserve to fight Cyborg, let alone give her. So you can't reward her by giving her a title shot. Under no circumstances would I give that fight an opportunity as well. So if I'm Dana White, I've just ruled out Amanda Nunes, and I just ruled out Jermaine Duranemi. Holly Holm has just fought. Do you know? I don't think a rematch is in play. So there's just Megan Anderson.
There's Megan Anderson and potentially the only other person
that Kat Zingano.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing. I don't see the future in this division unless Megan Anderson is able to win and create kind of a rivalry with Cyborg.
And I think with the UFC, this is the division that they needed an Ultimate Fighter house for, is to put a bunch of featherweights in there, and the winner gets a shot at Cyborg. But then no one's going to want to move in that house to fight Cyborg, to get annihilated by Cyborg.
Yeah, it's just such an empty division at this point. There's not a lot of talent flowing into it. Cyborg's huge, and the people that occupy the 145 featherweight division, they're huge. Megan Anderson's huge. It's tough to be able to scout that talent, I think. And the only places that you can really scout talent with that is in a league like Ryzen, where Japanese MMA standards aren't at the same level as UFC standards.
And we're going to talk about Ryzen tonight as well. Before we go on break, what's next for Holly? Holly, and one of the things, this is one of those cases where the record does not reflect the fighter. But do you realize that Holly has lost 4 out of her last 5?
Yeah, and they've always been at a high. The only gimme fight that she had was the best Kohea fight.
Yeah, because you look, she loses the title to Misha Tate, Valentina Shevchenko she loses to, then she loses to Jermaine Duranemi, then she gets a pretty much a glorified tune-up fight. I love Beige Kohea, but that was not a matchup. And then she gets Cyborg. You know, that looks really bad, but when you look at, that's the who's who.
That's a murderous row of women right there.
Yeah. You know, and if you go back one more, you go Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, you know, Valentina Shevchenko, Bej Kohea, Chris Cyborg.
Some of the greatest fighters of all time.
Of all time. So, you know, even though she's lost 4 out of 5 or 4 out of 6, I mean, she gets a pass because she has been fighting. I can't name another fighter, active fighter on the roster who has had a tougher route.
I still wouldn't give her a tune-up fight. I'd give her a high-level opponent, someone like a Kat Zingano, and if Kat Zingano is able to win her next fight, I would give her that fight.
I would,
but then you would be kind of killing a contender right there.
Yeah, so there's no way I'm doing that fight. Because you need a fight. You put Megan Anderson in there, and then you immediately let Kat Zingano wait next. Or you do vice versa. You put Kat Zingano in there and then Megan Anderson. But if you have Kat Zingano fight anyone else, it's just chewing up a division that's already dead.
Maybe you throw in Tanya Evinger with her. They're both coming off of losses.
No, Tanya has a fight coming up. She's contractually, when she came in, that was one of the agreements, is that she gets to go back to bantamweight. Tanya is not going back. She's not a natural flyweight, so she's going back to back to bantamweight. And for anyone that knows Tanya Evinger, that bantamweight division is on notice. That's a very tough woman.
So, to be honest, would you, if you're a Holly Holm, would you go back to bantamweight?
Because
that's your, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That the next move for Holly is, you know, and she's already said she wanted to go back to bantamweight, but the UFC kind of talked her into going up. Holly is a bantamweight. It's crazy to say she's lost 4 out of 5, and now she deserves a shot at Amanda Nunes, but I would like to see her fight Amanda Nunes next.
I mean, the only possible contender.
Does that sound weird that she's going to get that put her up for a title shot again?
It's kind of like the Chael Sonnen effect. Right? you may be losing, but you still get the title shot. You know,
I don't know what it is, but you know, when I think about who do I want to see Holly fight next, it's Amanda Nunes.
I mean, the only clear contenders, if you want to say that, is maybe a Valentina rematch, but I don't think people want to see that.
Valentina's going down. She's moving down, so that fight's over.
Exactly, but that would be a competitive one again. The next one who's earned a title shot after multiple victories is Raquel Pennington. She's earned it based off of resume, maybe not at the skill level, but she has.
In the U.S., when you look at the world of the UFC as far as looking for needle-moving fights, is Amanda Nunes or Pennington really a needle-moving fight?
Well, if we're going to do this,
poo-pooing everything, you notice?
No, if we keep doing this based off of needle movers, we're going to have Holly Holm challenge for the next 10 title shots in featherweight and bantamweight.
Next, we're going to have Holly Holm fighting Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah,
Cody.
Then we'll just go back to Japanese MMA. So.
Oh my goodness, those two crack me up. I am interrupting once again for our second break of the podcast, but they were kind of, you know, going off topic anyway, and they were about to change the subject. So it's time for a break. When we come back, Will and Tate will be looking at the other women's fight on the UFC 219 card, and that was between Cynthia Calvillo and Carla Esparza. You're not going to want to miss that, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Women's MMA podcast. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Women's MMA podcast. Before the break, Will and Tate were talking about the Cyborg Holly Holm fight, and now they are about to move on to that, as I mentioned before, that second fight, women's fight on this card, and that was the fight between Cynthia Calvillo and Carla Esparza. So let's see what they have to say about that.
The next fight I wanted to talk about is that Carla Esparza versus Cynthia Calvillo. And Carla Esparza won the fight. And I was very surprised by that. I was taking Cynthia Carvilla. And when I watched the fight, I thought that Cynthia would just be too much on the ground. But Carla showed to be, you know, after the first round, Cynthia totally dominated that first round. But the next two rounds I gave to Carla Esparza. She was a bigger fighter. She was a much stronger fighter. What did you think of this fight?
Well, I've always thought that Cynthia Calvillo is overrated.
Oh, wow. Because I think she's so underrated, but go ahead.
I think that she's serviceable in all aspects of her game. She's a better wrestler than most women
okay.
are in the division, but she doesn't impose that much of a risk as far as damage goes, and she's not a finisher in my opinion.
And see, I look at it, I'm the total opposite. I think she's the real deal on the ground. I think like Uriah Faber said, she's a potential champion. So I think she's the real deal. And to be honest, I kind of felt the opposite way. I kind of felt like Carla was a little more overrated because she won the Ultimate Fighter, but Carla came and Carla really improved. And she really negated a lot of what Cynthia Carvillo could do after that first round. But I'm definitely very surprised that you say she was overrated.
Well, don't get me wrong. Carla Esparza is also overrated.
Oh, wow. You're just throwing bombs today, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't think that either of these fighters is at the top of the division as far as contender goes. They do not pose a threat to Rose Namajunas or Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And I would even say that Karolina Kowalkiewicz destroys both of them too.
Now, see, and I look at it up. I do not look at it that way. I look at it as when you think about Carla Esparza, she's already fought Rose and she submitted Rose. Then when you look at, you know, when you say look at Cynthia Carvilla, every time she fights, she's getting better and better, and she's getting stronger and stronger. She's you know what though? I'm a little surprised. I was thinking that she was a lot younger. She's actually 30, so she's a little older than I thought she was. I had her like more about 25, but so I was a little off on her age. But each time I see her, she's steadily improving. The only thing I was kind of thinking is they've been moving her along a little faster than I would have liked. I wanted to see her kind of slow down a little bit before putting her into a title situation. But when you look at this and with Carla Esparza winning and with the fact that she submitted Rose, I kind of look at it as if Rose gets, it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Rose in the rematch, and then the very next fight, I think, puts Carla Esparza right back in the title picture. You don't agree on that?
I don't, because you have Jessica Andrade in the waiting.
Yeah, you do have Jessica Andrade, but you also have a situation where Jessica Andrade has actually had a title shot and she lost. Not against Rose.
Just destroyed Claudia Gadelha.
That is true, and I think Claudia Gadelha is the best, is one of the top two or three fighters in this division. It's a whole little thing called cardio is what's killing Claudia Gadelha. But with the fact that she was the former champion and she won her title by beating Rose and stopping Rose, I think that puts her Carla Esparza ahead of the line. Before both of those guys.
I can see how you do it in terms of rankings and history.
I'm just saying, as far as, you know, you also have to take the new UFC, and I hate putting the little air quotes up, but the new UFC, you have a great storyline. You know, Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose versus former flyweight champion. Former bantamweight champion.
Not even bantamweight. It was.
It was bantamweight. Yes,
are they bantamweight?
I mean strawweight. Sorry. Former strawweight. I misspoke. Former strawweight champion Carla Esparza. The last time they fought, and they show her stopping Rose. That's a storyline you can get behind.
That's a storyline I can get behind. But when it comes to the technical aspect and the ways that Rose has improved back then, because she was 19.
Rose is way better than she was that day she lost. I would agree. I'm not saying, do I think she can win the title? That's not what I'm saying, because I don't think she can win the title. I agree with you on that one. I'm saying, as far as what's the next step for what I think the UFC will do, what's the more sellable, bankable fight?
I would give it to Jessica Andrade still.
You really would? Okay, yes, that's an interesting one there.
Yeah, it's just she's a powerhouse. And you can give Carla Esparza Jessica Andrade, and that would be another what I would see is another destruction.
Yeah, I would take Jessica Andrade over Carla Esparza, but I'm just thinking as far as marketing and the overall, it's a good fight to promote. It would be Rose versus Carla. I think this takes Cynthia Carvella and it moves her down and takes her pretty much. Her game plan was to be in title contention this year. With this loss, I think the chances of her getting a title shot now in 2018 is gone.
Yeah, I definitely think
before the year before 2017 is over, I think Cynthia's title contention scenario was actually been ruined by for her 2018.
Yeah,
do you agree or disagree?
I definitely agree that she had a chance with this fight to catapult her to become the number one or two contender in the division.
Yes.
Not that she would be in a technical standpoint.
I can tell in your voice. See, I think she is. I mean, on the ground, I think she's just amazing. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of hers. But today, I tip my hat to you, Will, on this one, because she definitely won. I think she was very shocked. I thought the fight could have went either way, and I think she thought she won. This is one of the things that, you know, corners, I think if you're a good corner, one of the smart things to do is to bring in two independent people that have nothing to do with the friendship or the relationship with that fighter. Just bring in two independent guys that you can look over at, and after each round, they'll give you their independent opinion. Did you win that round? Did you not win that round? Because when you're a lot of times fighters are too close to the situation, and their trainers are too close to the situation, and they look around and they think our fighter won this fight. Because there was nothing, you could not tell Cynthia Carvella that she didn't win that fight, but she didn't. I had Carla Esparza winning, and that happens too often. What's your thoughts?
I definitely agree, and I hope that she doesn't take the mentality, which ruins a lot of fighters, the mentality that you got robbed, and not make changes to your game. Because I feel like that may be what's going to happen. She's going to look back on this and still think that she won, and won't be able to get to reach the potential that she has. I think that she's overrated, I think that she has a higher ceiling than she's showing. And I don't think that she's close to reaching that potential yet. Yet she kind of fights with the pretension that she is at her highest peak yet.
See, and that's the thing. I think of her as the real deal. The real deal. I think she's good enough to be champion right now. Even though she lost, I think she can go. She can compete against anyone in the division right now. This is one of those times where we truly are parted on this one. On where we think the fighter is in, you have the upper ground today because Cynthia lost to Carla Esparza, and I don't want to take anything from Carla. Carla really showed a lot of improvement. But this is one of those one times where we are definitely under disagreement on that one.
Yeah, I think that styles make fights. And I think that if you made Carla fight the same people that Cynthia would fight at the top of the division, I think that Cynthia would do better. I think that she would be able to compete.
You say that correctly?
I would say if you were to look at them, even though Carla won this fight, if you make them fight 10 other fighters, not each other, if you make them fight 10 other fighters, I think Cynthia is going to win more and be more competitive with the other 10.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
But just because you're competitive Like, I guess Barboza was competitive with Nurmagomedov, but I don't
he wasn't.
I don't think that's competition. That's what I'm saying. That's also what I'm saying.
That is not a fair comparison at all.
I think that Jessica Andrade, Rose Namajunas, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk would destroy Cynthia Calvillo just like Khabib destroyed Barboza.
And then, see, I think that she'd be very competitive with all of them. So do you give Carla Esparza any shot? First of all, do you think that she will get that title shot? And if she did, how do you think she would do against Rose?
I think that she would do better against Rose than she would against Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Claudia Gadea and Jessica Andrade.
It's one of those situations. I agree with you on that because it's one of those situations where styles make fights. And I think Carla's style matches up a lot better with Rose than a lot of other fighters do. Mm-hmm. And so it would be an intriguing fight that I would love to see. So I agree that it's one of the best fights that she could have, and it's for the title. So it's a good place to go.
If you want to build up Rose and you want to give her a chance to redeem herself from her previous loss and you want to build up her resume, give her Carla Esparza. That's what I think.
We're going to end this right on that agreement.
Isn't it nice to see the guys actually agreeing on something and getting along and not making bets that one of them has to lose and do a bunch of push-ups for? That is our show for today, recapping UFC 219. Thank you, as always, for joining us. You can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile device. And you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook, and we would love to hear from you and see what you thought about UFC 219, see what you think about moving forward for these fighters, what's going to happen next. And, you know, do you agree or disagree with some of the things that Will and Tate had to say about the fights and the fighters? We would love to hear from you. So thank you again for joining us. Please join us again next time. In the meantime, I hope you're having a wonderful new year and that your 2018 is going to be the best year yet. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.